following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance has got me reflecting a bit. You know, about all the places I've been so far, all the nice folks I've met, and all the money Geico saved them. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I saved somebody money on car insurance, I could retire tomorrow. But then, I'd have to stop my journey across America. I'd never get to visit Collinsville, Illinois, and see the world's largest bottle of ketchup. Well, there's no way I'm going to miss that.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, it's the Herd. Some of us were hooked on baseball the moment we put on a glove. Others, watching a game for the first time with our dad. However you came to your love of baseball, chances are, when you want seats, you do what most fans do, head to StubHub. That's because you know StubHub is hands down the easiest way to get access to the best seats. You know it, I know it. Baseball fans everywhere know it. So if you haven't yet, head to StubHub today to score your seat for the start of another amazing season.
StubHub! 11 a.m., and that means it's time for the Doug and Daddy Show. You know the guys, but let's learn a little bit more about our hosts. First up, Sports Director Doug Duda.
If he were to give you directions, you'd never get lost, and you'd arrive at least 5 minutes early. His legend precedes him, the way lightning precedes thunder. If he were to mail a letter without postage, it would still get there. His blood smells like cologne. The police often question him just because they find him interesting.
Now let's learn a little bit more about Big Daddy Tony Davis.
His charm is so contagious, vaccines have been created for it. When it is raining, it is because he's thinking about something sad. His hands feel like rich brown suede.
His personality is so magnetic, he is unable to carry credit cards. He never says something tastes like chicken, not even chicken. He's a lover, not a fighter. But he's also a fighter, so don't get any ideas.
Find out what it is in life that you don't do well, and then don't do that thing.
Lucky for us, the guys are good at talking sports. So let's head to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
We're going hopping.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us for a very busy Thursday. And it's just a weird 24 hours of things that are going on. The passing of Dick Clark, of course, who I think for anyone my age and above is going to know about that. Kind of, I think, phased out about the time you were in high school, Daddy. This was one of those things that on Saturday morning, kind of after the cartoons, the music would come on. I mean, let's face it, this is when WOW in Omaha was huge. You'd listen out in our part of the world. You try to get KOMA out of Oklahoma City, or you try to listen to WOW in the driveway at night on AM radio. And we're dating ourselves. Kids in high school and college now are going, what in the hell are you talking about? But Dick Clark.
I'm even going, what are you talking about? It was after me, apparently. I remember Dick Clark from the ball drop.
Yeah, see, in 25,000, all the pyramid shows, the bloopers shows on TV, bloopers and practical jokes. He did so many things and passes away from a heart attack at 82 after he'd had a stroke and American Bandstand. It's just one of those things you're never going to have again. When we come back in 20 years of television and you're going to look at and go, what were all these reality shows? What were American Idol and Dancing with the Stars and The Voice and Survivor and Amazing Race and, you know, all the ones that are already passed on? I mean, you don't see game shows much anymore either, just like a Jeopardy and a Wheel of Fortune, and that's about it. So that's why you have so many cable channels that can run old television shows and be popular with folks that saw them in their youth and in their 20s and Bandstand. About the time Madonna hit it big, because she was on American Bandstand, but phased itself out in the 80s, at least for anybody paying any attention to it.
I think it came down to Dick Clark hearing that LB 806 didn't get passed and just fell over.
Well, Chuck Turco is going to join us from Fodder Park. Also on the show today, we're going to be talking with Eli Cabron of Pro Football Weekly about the NFL draft and the Husker status going in. We're also going to have a couple of minutes with Tri-City Storm coach Josh Howgie in our next segment to chat about the end of the Storm season. Amazing, Tony, that there were no upsets in that first little mini round of the tournament. The 3s and 4s beat the 5s and 6s and advanced on. Pretty tough to win on the road.
Well, if everybody's, the 5s and 6s were on the road for a week like the Storm was, you think you expected that. And obviously playing at home is a huge advantage, but that's why you play the regular season. Storm really battled back after really a miserable middle of the season. That's what it goes back to. If they could have righted the ship somewhat in that, they wouldn't have put themselves in that predicament. But season comes to an end. They'll rebuild. A lot of kids coming back, so we'll see where it goes.
And also the announcement yesterday that Pat Summitt, as many kind of believed when they bowed out of the NCAA tournament, this would be her final year. A press conference is scheduled for 12:30 this afternoon, but man, you think Pat's like 75. She's 59. She's 59 and probably looks as every bit of that for all the work that she's put in her 38-year career. But this dementia, Alzheimer's, has set in. And, you know, when she wasn't coaching the team much this year. She wasn't doing much on the sidelines. She wasn't doing any interviews. So Pat Summitt will step aside as well.
That's sad for a number of reasons, but obviously the record she's got at age 59, obviously healthy Pat Summitt, I could have, you know, seen going another 10 years in the sport,
yeah.
and the records then would have never, ever been touched by anyone.
She'd have blown away all longevity records.
Right.
Lee Robinson, a Joe Paterno-type run in football, and anybody else that's been out there coaching for Augie Garrido years in baseball,
right,
and things like that. So she steps aside. Also, Pudge Rodriguez, maybe the last great catcher that we know, is going to retire today. 21 years. The first 12, of course, were with the Texas Rangers, and he's going to retire this afternoon in Arlington. So three things that are coming to an end: the life of Dick Clark, the coaching career of Pat Summitt, and the all-star career of Ivan Pudge Rodriguez.
If you catch for 21 years in the Major League Baseball system, the number of games, what do your knees feel like? I'm serious. I cannot imagine him being able to get up and down. Period. 21 years doing that? I don't care how fit you are. They got to be shot. I mean, that's the longevity you mentioned about her, Pat Summitt. Longevity of a catcher. Those are short careers normally.
Also, you're down 3-0 in the NHL playoffs, and then you score 10 goals in one game. Kevin Na back at the scene of the crime at the Valero Texas Open. It is the anniversary yesterday. In fact, 16 years ago, if we would have been doing this show, this whole hour would have been devoted to Brooke Barringer, who went down in that plane 16 years ago yesterday afternoon. And, of course, there's some remembrances going on with that as well. So there's a lot to talk about outside of actually what's going on today. But yesterday, Daddy, the legislature voted twice, 28-20 and 29-20. They needed 30 votes to override Governor Dave Heineman's veto of the bill that would allow machine bets on the old horse races, LB 806, in a move that, again, this is one. A lot of people can't see any harm in what the deal is here, and then you just got anti-gamblers. And as you went on your rants before, then let's get rid of it all. But it's a shot to Fauner Park, Horseman's Park, everybody else in the state of Nebraska that is trying to keep thoroughbred racing going.
Yeah, and people, the livelihood's going. That's how they make their living. And we're pleased to be joined right now by Chuck Turco. He is a leading trainer at Fauner Park. Chuck, how are you this morning? Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, I'm fine, thank you.
Chuck, Chuck had to be, I mean, we were at Fauner last weekend. Everybody's signing the petition. Everybody's getting ready for that one more push yesterday. And before we get too far, this is not totally dead because Senator Scott Lautenbaugh filed a motion to reconsider, but the legislative session is done for now. Did you think that there was a legitimate chance going into yesterday's meeting in Lincoln?
I really did. And the problem with it with me is, the reason there was a legitimate chance is that these guys, they trade around. They say, hey, if you'll vote for my bill, if you'll change your vote, I'll change mine. You know, some of it's pretty sketchy, in my opinion. You know, and unfortunately, and I don't think it ever should have came to that. And we really had to push hard. the governor probably should have never vetoed the thing. I mean, I really don't understand why he did that. And the impact it has on literally thousands of people, you know, it's pretty disappointing for sure.
Obviously, you know, and people say this deal isn't dead. There's all these motions that can be filed. But like you said, the governor signs a deal. They're in there. Everything is good, and everybody is smiling, and the dollars are coming not only into the horse track, but also, I don't know if anybody told Governor Heineman this, it would have been going to the state, too. They get part of the money.
Yeah, I mean, they never give us, they don't have to give us anything. We give them money. They never gave us money. So we're not a liability to them. You've got this group of people that puts out a lot of false things. This Pat Luchner lady, she's really a dandy. I mean, she probably ought to be in prison, some of the stuff she says. I mean, so far off the wall, this anti-gambling group. And you kind of, you wonder, don't they have anything else to do? You know, why, you know, what is their purpose? There's been gambling around. This was not a big deal, guys. These machines, some people would have liked them, some people wouldn't. It was a little bit of help, and it was a step in the right direction. Give somebody something to do in between each race. But they weren't a big deal, and these people were either uninformed or didn't try and learn about anything about them, or I don't think it would have been a problem.
Chuck Turco is with us here from Fodder Park, the leading trainer with us on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Some figures that we've known about, but Bob Hamer also put in his article today in the Grand Island Independent, is that this would have estimated to add 1,250 new jobs at the five tracks in the state, more than $10 million in additional direct taxes to the state, and more than $25 million in additional purse money for live races, which obviously brings in better talent and gets the ball rolling there. They're doing this in Arkansas, at Oaklawn. They're doing it in Kentucky. Chuck, the word we're hearing...
Iowa.
the word we're hearing, Chuck, is that the tracks are going to go ahead and do it anyway. I guess kind of like these bank shot machines that went in here recently, and they're going to make the courts prove that they're legal or illegal. Is that the next step?
You know, I talked to a couple people this morning about that because I knew I was going to be on with you guys, and I'm not sure that's the direction we're going to take it. But, if we were going to do something like that, we should have done it. But who would have thought that... I just assumed that this would pass, you know. Horse racing has been around Nebraska for a long time. And in 1995, I took the only horse born in Nebraska, the Kentucky Derby. He's always been the only one, Dazzling Falls. And at this point, it does look like a declining business because we can't ever get any support from the people that we need it from. And, you know, there's a lot of history that goes back in this. And so...
Chuck,
it would have been great to get that started, and I just don't understand, you know, with the jobs that it creates and with the jobs now that it's going to lose probably, it was a bad deal.
Well, the economy's rolling so well, we don't need that extra revenue. I think that's what basically it says. Chuck, it's interesting because you've saw Saturdays at Fawner Park really reemerge, and the facility over there with the convention centers building on and things they do at night has added to that. Saturdays at Fawner Park show that Nebraska racing is not dead, though, and is alive and well, right?
Oh, and Friday and Saturday nights in Lincoln and Columbus, they get 5,000 plus. Look, we don't even have anybody. You know, if a tourist is coming to Nebraska, where are they going to go watch? Look at a crane anymore. You know, College World Series, I guess we have. There's not a lot to offer. They kind of gotten rid of everything. And I mean, you get 5,000 people, they don't get that type of numbers at Remington Park in Oklahoma City. And we get 5,000 at a small track like that. And it's just unbelievable. And Saturday's been great here. They needed to come.
When you go to Hot Springs or when you go to Gulfstream, if you're at another track and you mention to people you're from Nebraska, what's the initial reaction?
First thing they say is what a crime it was they closed Exarban. And just about everybody that's been around and just about every trainer, rider that's been anywhere, they have been here. They got their start here in Nebraska. And, you go to Wayne Lucas, Billy Mott's been here, just all the top guys, Mike Smith, Garrett Gomez, A lot of the stars, and they love Nebraska, and they'd love to come back.
Well, so. Obviously, you know, it sucks that LB 806 did not pass. There's a lot of good things going on at Grand Island. You continue to lead the meet. Kentucky Derby's in a couple weeks. The first Saturday in May, when you got to saddle one there, is it always bring back chills, or what do you feel on that morning? Or what stands out to you about that morning?
God, now that I can admit that was a scary day. here you are from Nebraska. The horse is from Nebraska, which had never happened. And usually on the backside of a racetrack, about 30 minutes before the race, they'll have an announcement, and they'll say, you know, put your bridle on for the eighth. Bring your horses up for the eighth. Well, when they said bring your horses up for the Derby, I about had a heart attack. and then there's 160,000 drunks cheering and laugh. But, you know, it's a little intimidating. I'd love to do it again. You know, I had a legitimate chance. And geez, I got letters and cards and from all kinds of people in the state. And I know they still like horse racing. We just need to jack the level up a little bit for them. You know, everywhere else in the country now, they're having larger purses, and I know that some of our really good fans probably lose a little interest, you know, eventually. But so I sure appreciate all of them that are hanging in there, and I appreciate all the senators that tried to help us yesterday too.
Well, Chuck, we sure appreciate you giving us a few minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
We got an email from a local group of horsemen. They want to know Buffalo Creek Hawk is in your stable. Are you going to run him in the Bosselman?
You know, Zach Mader really wants me to put him in there, but no, he won't be running the Bosselman. The only horse I have really it was a chance to go in there is Reach One More, and that's probably doubtful at this point. But no, Buffalo Creek Hawk, we're probably looking for something a little bigger for him.
Chuck, we appreciate the time. Thanks for taking it. Thanks
Anytime,
for answering
guys.
The email. And we'll best of luck the rest of the way at Fawner.
All right.
Thanks, Chuck. Chuck Turco, leading trainer, Fawner Park, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, you need to get in and out and get your oil changed, get some repair work on it. 30 minutes for the Mopar Quick Lube. Check it out at the Midway Auto Dealership's Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. And if you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, stop by and see them on South 2nd Avenue or check them out online for so many great deals at thinkmidway.com. It'll go through. You can get everything you want there before actually signing the papers. If you want to find out more about financing, if you want to look at the vehicles online, they've got videos of almost everything in stock for you. New, pre-owned, in-out, colors, makes, models. You can search as much as you want. They've got so much good info there for you because we know how you don't want to spend hours at the car lot, and they want to take care of you at Midway, the Midway Auto Dealership. When we come back, we're going to talk with Tri-City Storm Coach Josh Howji right after this.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. What's the best way to find out what your auto policy covers? A, smash your car up and see how much your insurance pays, or B, talk to a highly trained farmer's agent and see if you have the coverage you want? The answer is B. Please don't attempt A. That's just crazy town.
If you want answers about auto insurance, you want a farmer's agent. Find yours at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
You know that feeling. 2:30 in the afternoon, a lot to do, and you hit the wall. You're tired and groggy, but you gotta get stuff done. So take a 5-hour energy. Just open it up, knock it back, and roll up your sleeves. 5-hour energy is faster and easier than coffee, and man, does it work. You'll get the alert, energized feeling you need to get stuff done. A lot of stuff. 5-Hour Energy, when you gotta get stuff done. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
When you catch Royals baseball on the Breeze 94.5, we've got more than just baseball games. We have games within the game, like Bullseye's Dinger Dinner.
Swing it along one in the right. Get up, baby. Get up. The first home run hit by a Royal in any of the broadcasts will win you a dinner at Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill in Hastings. Here's all you have to do to win. Listen for the first dinger of the game and be the first emailer to Royals945 at KLIQFM.com to tell us the inning and the player who homered. Bullseye's Dinger Dinner. Simple. And another reason to catch the Royals. On the Breeze, 94.5 FM.
We'll see considerable cloud cover and some breaks of sun in some areas today with isolated showers and a few thunder showers around the area. Highs will stay in the upper 50s to 60 range with a north wind at 10 to 15. Tonight, there's a slight chance for showers as well. Right now, it's 54.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Oh, so much going on. I'm sorry. I was a TV junkie. I could have been a Seth MacFarlane. I probably watched enough of this kind of stuff to help him out write a few of these things where you're referencing the 80s and the 90s in our youth. I'm sure there's somebody out there. But, I mean, it went from the $10,000 pyramid to the $25,000 to the $20,000 to the $25,000, then the $100,000. It's incredible. They're like Donny Osmond.
I was never a pyramid guy.
See, here's the deal. When I was little, my grandma was into that. So when she watched us, the TV was always on, and The Price is Right was on, and whatever else, those numerous game shows that were on, but obviously Pyramid was one of those. I mean, it was like a three-hour block, and then they went into their soap operas, and you took your nap or whatever it is. You went out and helped Dad, and there you go.
I was Sail of the Century. Chuck Woolery, Summer Bartholomew. Oh, Summer Bartholomew's so hot. Press Your Luck.
Card Sharks.
See, Card Sharks was excellent. Press Your Luck was a whank, whank, whank. Those whammies would come out and break dance. I love the whammy. And you cheer against people to get whammies.
That game was so rigged.
Goes around the board.
Oh, anytime I would watch it on the Game Show Network, they would always get a whammy at the worst time. Every time. I've never seen a
show. That's because they were all greedy bastards. That's why. And the game was set up where you had to keep going or else somebody was going to pass you. There's a guy that they think figured out the pattern and made just a ton of money on there one time. And you can check that out if you Google it. Feeling like they got whammied with this playoff system is Josh Howji. But I'm going to talk about that. And the coach of the Tri-City Storm is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Their season wrapped up in Waterloo on Tuesday. And, Coach, first, congratulations. Because where you guys took over the program, and this is no shot at Drew, but it wouldn't have mattered where you guys or what team or what organization. It did not get off to a good start with so many expectations at the start of the year. And it's not like you were a 10-year assistant here, so congratulations to you and the kids for getting this thing turned around above 500 record after you took over and making it into the playoffs, which was a large task.
Well, thank you very much. Obviously, we're not... not pleased with the finish, and you know, but we took some good steps, and I think that the organization and the guys we got coming back, we're in a great spot, and we're excited about the future.
What happened? Obviously, you've got the draft and all these things. How many players return undoubtedly for next year's team?
Well, we have 17 guys that are on the roster right now that could come back, and then you know, with our affiliates that have played, we have over 23 guys that have played at some point for us, at least a game, and we're allowed to keep 23 players. So we're in a great spot as far as all the guys that have experience, but you know, as a coach, we're going to have some pretty tough decisions here this summer.
Josh Howji joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. How did you think things went during this four-game road trip? Maybe we blew Adam up too much. It just didn't happen in the first period of either of those games against Waterloo. But take me back to the weekend. Heck, Christian comes in, gets USHL Goaltender of the Week in his first two career starts. Talk about did the outside of not winning, which I know is the biggest thing, did the flow at least go like you wanted going into those two playoff games?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it went exactly. I think on Saturday night as a coach after we won and Christian got his first win in the USHL with the Storm. We were in a great spot. The guys were excited and the energy in the locker room just for him and getting his first win. It's probably the highlight of the season for me. I mean, the guys were so excited for him just with all the hard work that he's done this season. And, you know, and then we go into, you know, a tough place in Waterloo to play. And, you know, the first period, it wasn't like you talked about what we expected, and a little disappointing, but same point, the guys battled and never quit throughout the whole series.
Josh, when you have to battle as long as you guys did down the stretch, I'm just relating this to basketball. You know, we're down by 28. We got it back to 6, but it was just too much to overcome in the end. Were they out of energy by the end of the season?
Well, the way it works too for us is when you get to past the February 10th deadline, you can't make any changes in your roster. So we were playing the majority of the season, the rest of the season, not with 23. We got down to 19 with just injuries. So, you know, just going for how hard we had to battle to get into the playoffs, and then you're shorthanded just to begin with. It was a, you know, pretty tough road for the guys, but, you know, they never complained. They just kept working, and, you know, we might have run out of gas a little bit, but I think that even on Tuesday, if we find a way to score that goal in the last minute and tie the thing up, we would have won in overtime, and I really feel we would have won Game 3 because Waterloo was completely, if we're gassed, they were less than, they had nothing. They were done. So it was a great effort by our guys. We just came up a little bit short.
Josh Howgie with us here, head coach of the Tri-City Storm on the Doug and Daddy Show. I don't know if just the general fan that comes out there for the party at the Tri-City at the Vero Event Center to watch the Storm really understands that Kenny Brooks scored 2 goals as a defenseman. How, I mean, that's just odd.
You know, for him, and you know, he's a forward, and he moves back to D because we're, you know, we only have 5 healthy D, and he jumps back there. And the great thing for him was, you know, it was his last junior game. He can't play another game. He's done. And he was the best player on the ice. And, you know, he went down swinging. He was the best player in his last game, and he can, you know, he can hang his hat on that for the rest of, you know, his hockey days. In his last junior game, he was the best player and just dominant. Jumping up in the play, making plays for us, breaking pucks out. It's going to be a big loss losing him next year.
Josh, the guys that are leaving that you'll miss the most, the biggest playmakers for you that you'll miss the most,
are
who?
They're all good. I looked at the guys that are leaving. They're all good, aren't they, Coach?
Yeah, we're, you know, the guys we lose, it's going to hurt, you know. And the thing that I want to thank those guys for is just, you know, we made the coaching change or whatever, but those guys are the ones that turned it around. It was they're the ones who stood up and said, hey, we're not going to take this anymore. We're gonna fight. We're going to do whatever it takes to get into the playoffs. And they really set the example for the young guys. And they're the ones that deserve all the credit. They did it. And, you know, we gave them a game plan and whatnot, but those were the guys that led, and they did a tremendous job. And they're great hockey players, and they're going to have, you know, a great career in college, all the guys that were losing.
Couple minutes left here with Josh Howgie because I got a couple questions, so I'm going to hang him on here on the Doug and Daddy Show. First, I asked you at the press conference last week about this playoff scenario. It's a little over the top. I'll reiterate the same statement I made last week. Yeah, if you're the 5 and 6 seed, you should be at a disadvantage, but this whole thing was a little crazy. Will you or Mr. Brooks have any input, or how do the league coaches feel about this? Because, heck, the USHL changes the rules almost every year in formats.
Yeah, I guess in the coaching fraternity we talk and we have, you know, conference calls about it, and I don't think anyone is happy at all about the format. Even the teams that got the first round byes, it's just there's not a lot of integrity to the bracket. I mean, you usually get some time to prepare for a team, you know, but, you know, you play your last regular season game on Saturday, and then you find out you're playing Waterloo on Monday in Waterloo, and it's the prep time wasn't there as much as you'd like as a coach. But, again, you know, they set the rules at the beginning of the year, and that's what they chose to do. I don't really agree with it, but, you know, this year at least I'll have a voice in that, and, you know, can express what we think about, you know, a playoff format.
Well, hey, and next year, more games in the regular season. They take so long to play this regular season, and they jam the playoffs into such a short amount of time, which is a shame. Who's the best team, Josh? Who's going to take care of business?
Waterloo.
Here? No, Skip was in first thing Wednesday morning, and we were talking a little hockey, and he told me the same thing you did about how gassed they are and expects Omaha to move along. Is Omaha going to win it? Is Green Bay? Who do you think's the best team out there?
Until someone knocks Green Bay off, I mean, they got to be the favorite. They're their defensive core, it's unbelievable. They got, you know, three guys that I don't think anyone else has. And, Dubuque's a nice team, but they just lost their best player and the guy that could go in the top 10 in the draft. He's out for the playoffs. He broke his jaw. So that's a big loss for Dubuque. Out of the West, I would expect Omaha and Lincoln to advance, and, that'll be a great series. Those two teams don't like each other, and it will, anything could happen there.
Tony rolled his eyes. Who's Skip took Pittsburgh. I think we've got our picks in the Stanley Cup. Who you got?
Even though they're down a little, or they're even right now, I'm going to probably go with the Rangers.
All right. We've got coach down for the Rangers. Final question, then we'll let you out of here. Daddy asked you who we're missing. Obviously, Kenny Brooks is gone. Adam Wilcox is gone. Probably your two leaders, and Lappin and some of the other guys that are going. But I'm looking at Brooks and Wilcox, and you don't really have a lot of top-tier draft picks because of all the trades that have went on the last couple of years. What's your approach as you head into the draft and the entry draft here next month?
Well, I guess the plan is to outwork everybody here. We got to find guys that we can get in the third round because that's our first pick. That are as good as guys that, people get in the first two. And when I took over, I wasn't, I'm not asking for any favors or anything. I just wanted an opportunity to take over the team and was excited about it. And, can't make any excuses for, where we're at in the draft. We just got to go find good players. And we got a good group coming back, and we got a good affiliate list. So it's just time to go watch hockey here for the next month and a half until the draft and, make sure we get the best players available.
Well, if they're not good players, make sure they like to fight, would you?
Jeez.
I can guarantee you it would be a lot tougher next year. So we had to have some toughness, and that's something we're going to do this summer. And they may not be fighters, but they're going to play hard.
Well, Josh, congratulations on the job well done, and we look forward to our continued relationship and radio games on our network, and we'll talk to you again around draft time, see how things are going. Congratulations on finishing the season strong.
Well, thank you very much. Are you guys planning on doing anything for the draft?
Well,
can we get you over for it, or is that going to be?
We're going to come up and sit in the draft room and watch you guys wait till the third round shows up.
Sounds good to me.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Josh. We've obviously been up for the draft before and had a lot of fun. Daddy actually got to hit the button to select a player a few years ago when Coach Littler was here. It was like the sixth goalie that they drafted that year. and the Storm's going to need goalies. I mean, Christian Fry, but that is a need for the Storm. And folks, if you have a little need for a little belly nourishment in the morning, breakfast is served daily at BK. Try a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich, or choose the yummy hotcakes from 6 to 11 daily. Two locations in Kearney, also Cozad, Lexington, and North Platte. We roll right along here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Eli Cabarrot, Pro Football Weekly, when we come back.
That's the sound of an engine running on the strength of Castrol Edge. This is that same engine in the middle of a hot desert. Now in the cold of the Arctic. Now on a mountain. On a dark and stormy night. In the clouds. In a dream within a dream. We test and perfect Castrol Edge to be its strongest no matter what you put it through. Visit youtube.com/CastrolUSA to see how. Castrol Edge. It's more than just oil. It's liquid engineering.
Can't wait to get back outside and start getting your lawn back in shape for spring. Right now, buy any Troy-built or Husqvarna tractor and get a 10-cubic-foot steel dump cart for free. That's $129 value. Plus, when you purchase a Scott Snap Spreader, you'll get a Snap Pack replacement cartridge free. Come into Lowe's for these and other great values every day. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offer is valid through April 23rd. See store or Lowe's.com for all the details.
So, it was a Friday night. One of my buddies won the play pool, the other one to go grab a bite to eat, and me, well, I just wanted a cold beer and some good entertainment. So to keep everyone happy, we went to Cunningham's Journal. It's like three places in one. Upstairs is the loft where you can play pool and listen to some good tunes. Outside is the courtyard where they have live entertainment every week. And inside, there are a bajillion TV screens with all the games any sports fan can handle. Great food and, of course, the coldest beer in town. So problem solved. Everyone's happy. Thanks to Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see considerable cloud cover and some breaks of sun in some areas today with isolated showers and a few thunder showers around the area. Highs will stay in the upper 50s to 60 range with a north wind at 10 to 15. Tonight, there's a slight chance for showers as well. Right now, it's 54.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Big Daddy Tony Davis, Jeff, our producer, sporting the Vancouver Canucks jersey today. You kidding me?
I actually noticed it from that he was turned around when
they
I walked
finally
in.
Finally won one.
At a computer. And
to be the only person in the area that owns a Vancouver Canucks jersey.
The only one in the state of Nebraska wearing one today. I can guarantee you that.
No.
I could go into the story, but I think it would take away from our next guest, so we'll get to that after the show.
Eli Kaber on Pro Football Weekly. We love having Eli on the program from the Bible of Pro Football publications, the NFL Draft, 1 week from tonight, the opening round here on ESPN Radio. Eli, good morning. Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. How you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you? Excited for the draft?
Well, I think we all are. And I'm this morning, something we've known, and I said when they started this BS on ESPN that Andrew Luck will be the number one draft pick. They just had to have something to kill time for the last 3 months since we knew the Colts were going to have the number one draft pick. And so he's going to go number one. RG3 is going to go number two because that's why Washington moved up. So let's get to that next debate. Eli, what are you and the staff members at Pro Football Weekly think about Ryan Tannehill, Brandon Weeden, a couple of Big 12 quarterbacks? Who is the next best quarterback after those two?
Well, if you're looking for the best player, it's probably Brandon Weeden from Oklahoma State. He can come right in. He ran a pro-style offense at Oklahoma State. He can come right in and be a solid quarterback. But a lot of teams are enamored with Ryan Tannehill's potential. Obviously, he's much younger than Weeden. Weeden played minor league baseball, and so he's a little bit up there in age. And Tannehill has those intriguing prospects or potential, but a lot of people see him as like a boom or bust candidate. He could emerge as a really good player, but there's an equally good chance that he just could be a big disappointment. That it's all potential with him, so a lot of question marks. Probably Tannehill goes off the board first just because his upside is bigger, but a safer pick is probably Weeden.
Let me ask you another question. How much has national media now affected the draft? Because I believe if we just waited and just did a story or two every day and didn't get this Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, Mike and Mike in Fox Radio and everybody else and probably Pro Football Weekly, if we didn't have all these debates, Ryan Tannehill wouldn't even be close to a top 10 pick, would he?
Well, I don't know. I think that the debates inside, it depends on how much you think that the NFL teams listen to this kind of stuff. I think that the debates inside war rooms with scouts and GMs, they're having their own discussions, and it only takes one team to determine that if he's a top 10 pick. I mean, a team like the Miami Dolphins, where his old college coach, Mike Sherman, is the offensive coordinator now, it seems like a good fit. I mean, I think the debate sparks a lot of talk about Ryan Tannehill, and he's become the kind of intriguing prospect of this draft because we know who the first two picks are. Especially that they're both quarterbacks, so now he's the most talked about quarterback. But I think that the teams themselves, the 32 clubs, would still be having this discussion about how good of a prospect he is, where he should go. stuff like that. So I think the media definitely has an impact from a fan's perspective, but I don't know how much of an impact the teams, the GMs, the scouts really care about what the people like us are saying, I guess.
Eli, I think that's excellent, excellent point. Only one team you've got to sell yourself to. So no matter how high Mike Sherman is, you can have another 31 teams out there. If you go to your draft audibles, one says, to me, Ryan Tannehill is going to get way overrated. He's not close to being ready. You'd be surprised where he is on our board. You get a lot of people like that, but you only got to have one guy. Is there a quarterback out there for you that you like better than Ryan Tannehill, other than the top two?
Yeah, if I were a team, I think I'd be more comfortable taking a guy like Kirk Cousins from Michigan State or a Brandon Whedon because I think that they're just safer. Even if they don't emerge as star players necessarily, you kind of know what you're going to get. They might not have spectacular careers, but they can be solid either as a starter or a backup, and there's just less risk potential there. I think that a guy like Tannehill will have to be watched closely, coached well. And obviously Mike Sherman knows him well. He knows his strengths. He knows his weaknesses. So that would be a good fit. But me personally, I think a guy like Cousins out of Michigan State who showed that he can throw the ball in tough weather in the Big Ten, he showed some toughness, was a four-year starter. I think I'd rather have him than a guy that switched positions from receiver to quarterback just 2 years ago and played in the wide-open Big 12. Not to say that the Big 12 doesn't have good defenses, but I think a guy like Cousins is probably a safer pick.
And Cousins is smart. Peyton Manning was smart. Kirk Cousins is smart, Daddy.
Well, you know, we can break down a lot of these positions. Everybody can concede that the running back, Trent Richardson, seems to be ahead of everybody else. Is David Wilson, in your mind, the second-best running back out there?
Yeah, I think Wilson's probably the number two back. Doug Martin from Boise State is also an intriguing prospect. A guy that seems to be rising up the draft boards, though, is LaMichael James. He's just so fast, such a game-breaker. I don't know if teams are looking at him necessarily as a starter, but you saw what kind of impact that Darren Sproles had last year with the Saints, and I think a lot of people are kind of intrigued by LaMichael James and how fast he is and how what he can do with the ball in his hands. I wouldn't be surprised to see him go in the second round either.
He's 5 foot eight. I mean, he's 5 foot eight.
He's shifty. Eli Cameron of Pro Football Weekly joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Eli, I've heard some of the national pundits say that the value of running backs, they're now being devalued. You used to see a lot more of them go earlier. Are they being devalued because it's not that talented this year? Or your thoughts on teams drafting running backs early outside of Trent Richardson this year?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think that this year's running back class just isn't as strong. You kind of look at last year's class as well. Where Mark Ingram was the only running back taken in the first round, and he slid all the way to number 28. But just a few years ago, I mean, we had running backs go in the top five, Carnell Williams, Ronnie Brown, Cedric Benson. I mean, but then you look at those three's careers, and they never really panned out. I think that the reason that running backs are not picked as highly anymore is just teams are realizing that their shelf life is just so short. You get a good running back, and he could be out of football in 6 years just because – the wear and tear on their body. So teams are more going to the two running back by committee approach and not really investing those high picks in backs. But a guy like Trent Richardson can come right in and run for 1,800 yards. He's probably the most NFL-ready player of anybody in this draft. He should come right in and probably win Offensive Rookie of the Year next year. So whichever team gets Trent Richardson is going to be in good hands, but how long will Richardson be an elite player in this league?
Eli, here in Husker land, people want to know what your thoughts are on the Huskers. We'll start with Levante David at linebacker. It's either him or Alfonso Dennard that look to be going 1A as far as the Huskers go. Your thoughts on Levante David?
Yeah, David is probably climbing up into that second or third round mold as well. I mean, he's a solid prospect. The thing that worries teams, I think, is his size. He probably can't play in that 3-4. He's probably better suited for the 4-3, but there's still a lot of teams that run that scheme. So I think a team that's in the need for a linebacker, David could be a smart pick. And then you talked about Dennard. He could probably be a second or third round pick also just because of his skill set. A lot of teams think that he could be a number two corner at one point in his career, which is, I mean, a strong role. The thing that holds him back, obviously, is his size. He's only 5'10", so those big physical receivers he could have some issues with.
Eli Cameron, Pro Football Weekly, joins us. A year ago, Jared Crick was looking to be a first-round selection, late first-round selection, somewhere between about 27 and 32 in most prognostications if he would have come out. He doesn't come out. He gets injured, hasn't played since the Ohio State game. He is slid out of the first round to the third, a lot of people believe. Any thoughts on Jared Crick? And if he's 100% healthy, is he good enough to go way, way higher? Is he still kind of a first round? Is he first round talent, I guess, is the question folks around here want to know.
I think that he probably would warrant some late first or early second round discussion if he were healthy, but those durability concerns are obviously big ones for NFL teams. I mean, there's a recent history of just players that come into the league injured and just can never get healthy and get on the field, and then that's a wasted pick. So I think that his draft stock has kind of slid to maybe that third or fourth round range, where it's a little bit less of a roll of the dice if you get something out of him or not. Teams are not necessarily willing to spend those high picks on him, but that they can see that if it does pan out in the third or fourth round, then they get an elite player. But his durability is obviously what's holding him back. But teams like his competitiveness. They like what they've seen on film when he was healthy. The question is, how quickly can he get back to that form?
Eli, have you ever taken the Wonderlic?
I have not, no.
I would like to, too, because I'm looking at Claiborne, and if you got a 4 on this deal, you are DUM, period. You're DUM. Yeah. How high, I mean, if you're that talented, do they worry if you can read and write?
Well, why do they give the Wonderlic if they're not? That's what I want to know. Why do they give it if they're not going to use it? And it doesn't sound like this kid's stock is dropping one inch.
No, I don't think it is, and I don't think it should be necessarily. I don't think answering questions in a room necessarily determines how good of a football player you are. I think that they do it so that they can compare everybody on the same scale. It's not like one team gave one test, a different team gave a different test. Everybody took the same test, and they can compare player scores on that range. But I think it's kind of a dated exam. I don't think that the players really prepare for it like the teams probably wish they did. But at this point, why does it matter? I think that Morris Claiborne has shown through LSU and through working out with teams and his interviews that he's going to be a great football player. I don't think that teams really care how he did in a test when maybe he felt pressure and whatnot. I just don't think it matters at this point.
One of my favorite things to do is the underrated, overrated. Who's getting too much love, Eli, and who's not getting enough love in this NFL draft?
Well, I think you point to Tannehill as a guy that a lot of people are seeing as overrated. I mean, he probably has third-round talent, but his potential is so high that he could go in the top 10. That concerns some teams. A guy like Justin Blackmon from Oklahoma State, a lot of people see him as overrated a bit. His production at Oklahoma State was really high, but he doesn't necessarily have the skill set that a lot of teams are looking for. And then that defensive line class, Dontari Poe, from Memphis, he could go in the top 10, but he was kind of a workout wonder. He did great at the drills at the combine, but his production at Conference USA just was not that good for someone that's supposed to be so dominant. You would think that he would post big numbers, and he really didn't. So those guys are probably in the overrated category. The underrated, I really like. I think I mentioned earlier, Doug Martin out of Boise State. I think he did really well at Boise State. He's kind of a pass catching back and can be a third down back. I think he could have a nice role in the NFL. And then quarterbacks, a guy that Big Ten fans are familiar with, Russell Wilson. I think he would be an intriguing prospect for a lot of teams. Maybe not as a starter for the next few years, but a developmental prospect. He could grow into something that's really good. So I would look at him as well as underrated.
Eli, the last question I've got for you is small college guys. Is there somebody out there that you got? You're not talking first round, but second or third round that could pop up.
Well, one guy that actually could be sneaking into the end of the first round is an offensive guard from Midwestern State in Texas. His name is Amini Silatolu, and he is one of the toughest, most physical offensive guard prospects that the NFL has seen in a while. He's probably the number two interior offensive lineman behind David DeCastro from Stanford. So Silatolu, I mean, with a lot of these teams going to these power running games, a guy like Silatolu is really rising up draft boards. I think a lot of teams are intrigued by him. He's kind of had some character concerns, that the fact that he went to a Division II school kind of scares some teams because he couldn't qualify academically at some big programs. But Silatolu is really rising up boards because of his just sheer strength and physical toughness.
And my last question for you is, there is a young man that is a place kicker named Greg Zuerlein that didn't even get to play last year that many people have as number one on his board or on the board as far as kickers go. So we got some Nebraska interest there. Is this a kid that gets drafted, or is he free agent, or how do teams look at somebody that didn't even play last year?
Yeah, it's tough with specialists. I think every team kind of has their own philosophy in terms of drafting kickers and punters. Some are waiting, some are willing to wait for the undrafted free agent market. But I think a guy like Zuerlein could get some interest at the end of the draft, seventh round, something like that. But with kickers and punters, there's just no guarantee, because the quality you'll find on the free agent market is oftentimes as good as what you can pick in the draft. So it's just so difficult to tell if a kicker will get picked.
Eli, Noah Keller lives in Kearney. You got any thoughts on? He's an inside linebacker from Ohio. I don't know how much you researched him. He's got a shot to be picked up late.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a shot. I think a guy. Let me find him in the book. Yeah, I think that he could get picked late. I think that a lot of teams are looking for depth at linebacker, special teams contribution. He could warrant some interest. I think probably undrafted free agency, a priority free agent, is more likely. But there's always teams that are looking for those tough players that can do a lot of different things on special teams, play inside, play outside. So he could warrant some interest as well.
Well, his mom would have beat me if I didn't ask the question.
And last question then, Eli. I lied. Your take on this whole Saints deal, is it just a huge mess, or did the right thing take place?
I thought it was the right call to hand down the harsh suspensions. I think Roger Goodell wanted to send a message. I think the true learning experience is that the cover up is just worse than the crime. I think that if they had just come forward and said, "Yeah, we had a bounty program," that none of this probably would have taken place. It would have been a couple draft picks taken away. But Sean Payton lied, said he had no knowledge of it, and then it kept going, and said he had told Greg Williams to stop it, and it kept going. So I think teams are now realizing that the Goodell is going to take this stuff very seriously and to not cross him when it comes to these investigations.
Eli, thanks as always for the great conversation and knowledge here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We'll catch up with you again soon, and enjoy the draft.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Take care. Eli Cabarron, Pro Football Weekly, the Bible. Daddy wouldn't go anywhere without it. Check it out. Pro Football Weekly. And Greg Zuerlein, as Coach Kroc just told me, played at Missouri Western last year after having to find somewhere to play out of UNO.
I'm sorry, Fast Willie. He wanted to know what the Pats have on Goodell to get that schedule. Also, why the Steelers have two bye weeks.
Yeah, did you get the part about the two bye weeks? The regular
Cowboys.
Bye week and then the Dallas Cowboys.
Nice one. Yeah. That was a good one.
Back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
There's so much here for everyone at Indian Head. Indian Head Golf Club.
This Friday, head over to Indian Head for demo days. Try out the latest and greatest equipment in the golf industry from brands like Adams Golf, Callaway, Cleveland, Cobra, Mizuno, and Ping. Reps will be there to answer your questions, and all clubs will be discounted during demo days. This Friday from 4 to 8 p.m. at Indian Head Golf Club, 4100 West Husker Highway in Grand Island.
I didn't know school buses use Goodyear tires.
Well, Goodyears have superior handling, so the buses can maneuver through just about anything with all those kids.
Then with my Goodyear tires, I've got superior handling while driving my kids around.
Just because your dog's riding car seats does not make them kids.
Guys, he didn't mean that.
Receive up to $160 off with mail-in rebate when you buy four select Goodyear tires with your Goodyear credit card. Goodyear credit card purchases subject to credit approval. Certain conditions and restrictions apply. See retailer for complete details. Goodyear, more driven.
Play indoors this weekend with new Behr Premium Plus interior paint starting at $23.98 a gallon, only at the Home Depot. The number one selling brand of paint just got better, making coverage easier and faster, even on tough surfaces like bare wood. So make a one-wall statement or tackle a total room takeover. Roll over to the Home Depot for new Behr Premium Plus interior paint starting at $23.98 a gallon. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Major League Baseball on ESPN Radio. It's one of the most intense rivalries in sports, and round one of 2012 is this weekend.
Out of here! Home run over the right field wall, Derek Jeter.
Red hot Derek Jeter and the Yankees face David Ortiz and the Red Sox.
Got a chance and it's gone. Home run, David Ortiz, the opposite way.
Yankees, Red Sox, Saturday afternoon at 3 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see considerable cloud cover and some breaks of sun in some areas today with isolated showers and a few thunder showers around the area. Highs will stay in the upper 50s to 60 range with a north wind at 10 to 15. Tonight, there's a slight chance for showers as well. Right now, it's 54.
YouTube, Game Show Network, it's so great. Dick Clark, the passing thereof. The Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Maybe you're on the brink of deciding to buy new furniture. You owe it to yourself to see Bruce Furniture and maybe deal. We'll do the magic. Solve two issues. First of all, you can trade in your old stuff. That's right. Second of all, they've got a growing demand for those items. They'll get rid of them for you. Trade them in. Boom, you go out with the new stuff. Just bring in a picture, snap it digital on your phone, or bring it in for top dollar trade. Bruce Furniture has high demand for used stock in good condition. Nothing from the shed or barn. Stuff in your house. You just want to upgrade. Trade it in now. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Holdridge, Hastings, out west of Alliance, just right for you. Now, taking trade-ins on your old furniture. Bruce Furniture, just right for you. Douglas, obviously this morning, there's bombshells go on all the time when you're not expecting. The Bo Ryan deal. We haven't mentioned that today.
He doesn't want his one of his players to transfer and then have to play against him.
You know, I hopped on Twitter, and I didn't have to go long. I typed down four deals. Darren Revelle says, prediction, after realizing the damage to his image and his program, Bo Ryan will allow a transfer by tomorrow. Brett McMurphy from CBS says, apologies to any trains that are offended. Bo Ryan is basically reenacting a train wreck right now. This is awful. Cowherd said Bo Ryan came on the radio and buried himself as a vindictive lost putts. Michael Severe said, treat the transfer like the way Nebraska treated Freeman and Gabbard. Every time you play them, hammer them.
Hey, folks, the Nebraska Danger are going to be back home next Friday night, and we have some tickets to give away here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we want to do that, give away a pair here before the end of the program. Right now, you can call 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776, and the first correct caller will pick up a pair of tickets to the Nebraska Danger. The Danger have the Defensive Player of the Week this week in the Indoor Football League. Who is it? Who is the Indoor Football League Defensive Player of the Week? He's from the Nebraska Danger. Jeff will be handling that off air. But don't forget, we'll be giving you more tickets for the Nebraska Danger Everett Raptors game at the Heartland Events Center next Friday, then the Bosselmans the next day. So it's next Friday. Be listening. Plus, we're going to give you a chance by being part of our Hy-Vee ESPN Superstation Rewards Fan Club. So be checking your email. Be checking your Facebook, because we're going to give you a variety of ways to win tickets to the Nebraska Danger. And while you're on ESPNSuperstation.com picking up your points for the Rewards Fan Club, you'll be voting on, is it fair for Badgers coach Bo Ryan to try to block freshman Jared Utah from transferring to certain schools? Yes, in all situations. Yes, only for schools in the same conference. No. Your thoughts, Daddy?
Well, I can see you blocking him from going to conference schools where, obviously, if you think that he's going to come back to haunt you. But to block him from 25 schools is a little bit ridiculous. You know what? You got differences with the kid. Let him go somewhere else and continue on. You got a successful program anyway. Probably not a make-or-break deal. Send him on his way. You don't ruin your reputation over a transfer deal in the offseason.
Well,
he's
making a statement, though, too. And the statement's probably going a little too far.
Well, the statement is, that. I mean, he's looking like a dumbass is what he's looking like. And he's making a lot of people out there really question
Bo Ryan.
You
want to go to the SEC or the Pac-12 or the Big 12? Go.
But not Marquette, not Iowa State. I mean,
not people in my backyard. That's what he's saying. And I'm not saying I agree with him or disagree with him, because there are so many cases like this. He's standing up for something. He's getting him to talk about it again. He's getting folks to talk about it. Yesterday's vote, which storyline are you most interested in following this coming NFL season? 46% of you said Peyton Manning with the Broncos. 31% said the Saints and their response to the penalty. 15% looking forward to rookies Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III. Only 8% here in the good old state of Nebraska said the Jets' use of Tim Tebow. Don't forget, Jerseys is offering lunch every Friday for a year for our grand prize winner in the Jerseys ESPN Radio NFL Draft Pick'em Contest. While you're at Jerseys, fill it out, or you can go online to ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com.
A little bit of international news. Off the coast of Mexico,
A
428-pound tuna was caught off of Puerto Vallarta. Yes. It was a world record for hook and line for yellowfin tuna. All right, so you think that's awesome. This guy's going to get a world record. It's one of those rules like golf, Doug, that you get so upset about. The deckhand touched his pole while the guy was reeling it in.
They DQ'd it.
Well, it doesn't qualify, and they knew that as soon as the guy touched it. They've got several over 300 pounds. This one was 428 pounds. The deckhand touched the pole, so there's no world record.
That's not good.
No.
Here's your Michael Larson was the gentleman from Press Your Luck. He won $110,237 in cash and prizes. The game ran so long that CBS had to air it in two parts, June 8th and 11th, back in 1984. At the time, the highest single-day earnings ever on a TV game show. TV Guide interviewed Larson and revealed the background of the episode, including his decision to pass his remaining spins after he missed his target squares. Yeah, he thinks that after taping so many shows on his VCR at home, he learned when to hit it and keep getting 5,000 in a spin, 5,000 in a spin, 5,000 in a spin, 5,000 in a spin.
Oh, wow. 84, he figured that out. Thank God for VHS.
Yeah, what's a VCR?
These young kids, he had listened to it on his 8-track and cassette player.
A couple more things as we get on out of here. The Valero Texas Open and poor Kevin Na. That'll be fun to see what he shoots today. And also, today's UNK softball games were called off against Wayne State because of that 0.1 inch of rain that we did have this morning. They're not going to play that, and the Lopers will wrap up the regular season at home with games on Thursday and Friday at Dryden Park. So there you go. Hastings College does have softball scheduled at Midland. The baseball team lost to York yesterday, 10-0. They go on the road for a pair of games this weekend. Tomorrow, a Friday show, getting you ready for the weekend. We're going to talk with Jeff Thober. He is the former girls basketball coach at Ravenna, stepping down this year, but he will be coaching in the Nebraska Coaches Association All-Star Game this summer. And we'll talk about the kids that are playing in that prestigious event. And also, we will give you a chance to meet our winner from a special presentation from our bracket challenge. Steve Russell's in for that. We've got a lot more tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show as well. Thanks to our guests today, Eli Cabron, Pro Football Weekly, Chuck Turco from Fauner Park, and to Josh Howgie, head coach, Tri-City Storm. You can always get it on the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com.
May you rest in peace, Dick Clark, and man, do I love Summer Bartholomew still to this day.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.